You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Chris, we've done it. We've recorded the first episode of Game of Shows. How do you feel?
Yeah, good. I mean, it finally happened after, what was it, a year and a half, 2 years?
Maybe? I think it's been a long time in the making. We first were chatting about it. It must be, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I was talking about it to people when my youngest was in Harry Potter. So that was probably two and a half years ago. And I had spoken to John Robbins about doing it then, and he was up for it. And he was in Hamilton, actually. So that we'd probably be able to date it by that. But he was in Hamilton at the time, so we were going to have a Hamilton team. And then I had another friend who was in Harry Potter, which I'm hoping still will get a Potter team, although I know it's technically not a musical.
I think we can bend the rules slightly, can't we?
You make an exception for Harry Potter, don't you?
So that's quite cool that John was like on the list for the first one.
I totally wanted John to do the first one, because he's such a great guy. He's like, I just texted him and said, I want to do a quiz, whatever. And he just writes back and goes, yep, I'm up for it, whatever, you know. And he's always been like that. He's very laid back. And, despite that reputation he's got for being uptight and stroppy, he's really not.
No.
What people say about him, it's unfair.
Yeah, I think they'll hear that when they listen to the podcast.
They will. I mean, I think we've probably done a lot to salvage
his range of musical theatre knowledge obviously does come across quite well in the podcast, doesn't it?
It does. He texted at one point and said, I will do your quiz, but I don't know anything.
I think that was all a ruse. Yeah, that was all a lie.
He wanted us to lull the opposing team into a false sense of security.
Yeah, and do you know what? I like that, obviously, when we were talking about this and we were planning it, our initial hurdle was to get everyone in the same room, wasn't it? And now, obviously, due to lockdown,
now it's like... That seems like such a naive thing to try and do, because everyone has matinees on different days.
Yeah.
We wanted to record it at the college where we have studios down in kind of southeast London, in Abbey Wood.
London College of Performing Arts.
First class training.
Oh yeah, training, BTEC students. Training. Yep, 16 to 19.
We'll talk about that more another time. We'll definitely. Let's have a word from our sponsor. So we were asking people to come out there, and then of course, you've got to find times when everyone was available. And it just never happened, did it? It was just pulling the whole thing together.
I think what was important for us, that it came across like a fun kind of night out or night in or however you want to look at it. And I think getting four current performers on an evening where they
and I didn't even have to
have a little
the
drink.
Wine.
I know. Yeah. Bring your own B.O.B.
Bring your own booze. That is what I'm going to have to put in the email when we ask future contestants. It's on Zoom, so you've got to get yourself a bit pissed during the proceedings. But I remember we got really busy with stuff at the college and that sort of thing. And so it just kind of got pushed to one side. But I never forgot about our little quiz.
It was nice when you kind of brought it up again a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I just like, well, I had been thinking about it all the way through lockdown and had been really busy with a few other things and kind of thinking, I won't do it. And then everything was like, you'd said to me so many times, I've got to do a quiz tonight. I'm doing a quiz. And then I was just thinking about podcasts and that sort of thing and listening to loads of podcasts. And I know you listen to podcasts as well. And thinking, why do we just listen? Let's make one.
Let's do it. And actually, everyone who I've mentioned it to are really excited about the idea, I think, of this kind of battling two current teams off against each other.
I love it. And that is the aim. And I think there are certain exceptions I would be prepared to make. But I think the aim should always to be like people in the current cast of a show, because I think that's what's really exciting for an audience as well, isn't it?
Definitely.
And obviously lockdown is such a kind of a bizarre time that no one's in the current cast of a show.
No, exactly.
So you can't say, these people were on stage last night and they'll be on stage again tonight, which is kind of the exciting thing as well. But it really gives everyone who's listening a kind of a glimpse into these people during lockdown as well, and what they're doing with their time. And everyone's trying to be creative, aren't they? Everyone's either making music or recording stuff, or making a podcast. Yeah, probably 50 million new podcasts. This one was genuinely planned a couple of years ago originally.
The only thing that's missing was the buzzers that we got ready for the round.
Where are they? I think they're in my office, but I ordered. I was very pleased with them when they came, but I would think we'd have to mic them up individually because it's just, they're like little toy ones. So, but the buzzer noises were absolutely brilliant. practically perfect. The only trouble was we all thought that that ZZ's answer to the "Don't Cry for Me Argentina" question was what song is this? Practically perfect. Don't be stupid, ZZ.
I think it was Charlie's reaction, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's not the answer. That's not the answer.
Which is brilliant. And then John's very God on high. I expect him God on high.
He's
like this, God on high.
No, yeah, very reserved as Jean-Paul at that point.
And then Charlie, step in time. Yeah.
I feel like he might have had the advantage with that's an easier character line, isn't it, for him? But
Shan was very upset that she never got to say lovely ladies.
She wasn't feeling it. So I suppose just to explain a little bit what we're doing here, I suppose we should maybe explain that we just thought after the edit, we had quite a lot of material left over, didn't we?
We had a lovely long chat with the guys, and rather than make it an hour and a half's worth of quizzing, we thought we'd give you a little bonus episode.
Who doesn't like a little bonus treat on
who
the side?
Who doesn't like a little bonus treat? So we'll do that now. So what's coming up now is the interview section where we just sit and chat with our amazing first show special guests, John Robbins, Shan Aiko from Les Mis, and ZZ Stralin and Charlie Stemp from Mary Poppins. And this is when we all met on Zoom to record the first episode. Game of Shows. So, Shan, you are Eponine.
Yes.
How long have you been playing Eponine?
I've been playing Eponine since last August. It's been great.
And how has it been for you? Because you come from a kind of a pop and soul and rock background rather than a musical theatre background.
Yeah.
So how did you find yourself in Les Mis?
Well, I was the Cameron's casting company obviously found me online or through X Factor, and they said, would I be up for auditioning? Because they probably thought I was correct for the role, and, you know, that's a bit of castings. They, you know, you get all sorts of people involved. So I was like, okay, let me give it a try. I wasn't sure if it was up my street, but I thought, what's the
best? Had you seen Les Mis? Were you familiar with the role?
I wasn't familiar with the show. I knew I dreamed a dream. I knew I was aware of the poster, but I had never seen it. And I was aware that there was a movie out about it that I'd never got to see either. Can you believe? So yeah.
Are you a musical theatre fan yourself?
I do enjoy musical theatre, yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yes,
I thought you were going to say no. I've never watched musicals.
I've been to see musicals like Wicked, Dream Girls,
fantastic,
and Tina, and all of those. Yeah,
that's good because it's kind of the theme tonight. So
absolutely. The one I hadn't seen was Les Mis. Yeah.
So do you think you can draw any comparisons from X Factor to Les Mis?
Comparisons? No, they're totally different. Totally different. Yeah, I wouldn't. They're two different ball games, literally, which are both exciting.
And you are a singer-songwriter as well, according to Wikipedia.
Yes,
so are you managing to make music at all during lockdown?
I am. I'm excited. So I'm like recording some songs, revoicing them at the moment. So that takes time. But I'm excited to get some stuff out. I think it'll be wise for me to work on that, work on my music.
And it's a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having
me. Mr. John Robbins, how are you?
Hello, so I'm good, you're right?
Yeah, I'm very good. You're Jean Valjean. I was thinking perhaps you must be perhaps the only person to have played Marius, Enjolras and Jean Valjean.
I think I might be, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a heck of an achievement.
Well, it just, you know, not very versatile, what can I say?
You only do French Revolution.
Yeah, I can only
and King and royalty and English.
Yes,
royalty.
That was a small departure. No, I think Ramin's done all three. I think, but you'd have to check.
And so is Javert on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm going to get all five done. All five male principals done at some point. I want that headline.
That would be pretty awesome. How old were you when you were first in Les Mis?
20.
And that was as Marius.
Yeah, Marius, right? In 2008, and I was 25, I think, something like that. Yeah,
wow.
25.
You must have been like five when the show opened.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was what, three-ish.
And did you get to play Jean Valjean in the old production?
No, I did. My Les Mis journey starts back in 2007, and I auditioned for Ensemble and didn't get it. And then I went and did a couple other things, and then auditioned for Marius for the original production with the Revolve. And that I did that for a year. And then I was moved on to the UK tour that was the first production of the new production. And I did Andres in that. And that was like reinventing the wheel, which was really difficult. And then, but worthwhile, I think we came up with some good stuff.
Reinventing the wheel that didn't rotate anymore.
Yeah, the stationary wheel. And then almost 10 years to the day in the same room at Three Mills Studios in East London, I came back to rehearse the new production for the West End that we're doing now as the third role, Valjean. So that was a very odd sort of 10-year bookend. Wow. And it was weird because it was the same creatives, and I think I'm the only person to do that. Both casts so far. There'll be others, but at the moment it's just me. And they were talking about, well, when we were here 10 years ago, you remember, don't you, John? And that really freaked me out. But no, it's great to see something that, you know, you get to create, because we don't get to create very much in musical theatre. Generally, we're recreating other people's work. And when you get the opportunity to create new work, it's
yes, cool. In a way, you've created the role of Jean Valjean in a way.
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say.
Well, I just it's on tape.
we got to create bits of this production. Yeah, we've I think Bradley, Jaden, and I have souped up the confrontation a little bit. It's very physical. There was definitely not a judo flip in the original. There is now. We've done bits of staging that we're very proud of, and yeah, it's a great production. We're really looking forward to going back to it at some point.
Can't wait to go back. I bet. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Indeed. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Shall we move on? Let's move on. Thank you so much, John. That's very, very brilliant. Okay. On our Poppins team, we have West End royalty, Zizi Strallen. Zizi, thank you so much for being a part of our show this evening.
No worries.
What's it like growing up in an acting dynasty, a West End dynasty, the Strallen family?
I mean, I don't know any different, so I guess it's just the norm to me.
Did you ever want to rebel and be a doctor or a lawyer or something and just
go the other way? I did, actually. When I was younger, I got into a very academic school and I got an academic scholarship. Sorry about it. And then I went there for a couple of terms and hated my life and begged my parents to let me go to Arts Ed. And they didn't want me to go, obviously, because they thought I was going to be the lawyer of the family and actually make some actual money and have a decent life. I managed to get myself a grant from Hammersmith and Fulham Borough and sent myself to Arts Educational. At 12. Not determined at all.
So when you were at home growing up, I'm assuming that you did a lot of like shows and things with your sisters, but who played the lead? That's what I want to know. Is there fights, or was it like auditioning to get the parts? Or
we've got lots of different characters in my family, but I'd say Summer's probably the most like bullshy one. Oh, I don't know, then probably Sass. But the thing is that like obviously it was in my family, it was very much like Summer and Scarlett were the two older ones. And then there's 6 years and then me and Sass. We didn't have that kind of childhood together thing, which is a bit of a shame. Yeah. And we had very different lifestyles because Summer and Scarlett were literally brought up in the theatre. Like, my mum and dad were doing Cats and Song and Dance and stuff when Summer and Scarlett were little.
I was also going to ask you, obviously, you're back playing Mary Poppins once again.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in lockdown at the moment.
So yeah, not right now.
Kind of weird, so not right now. But what's it been like revisiting that role? Because obviously you did it before a few years ago.
Yeah, I started it in 2015. I did the UK tour for 18 months. And a bit of Dubai. And then 2.5 years later, came back to it for London, which, you know, I was just really, really thrilled that it was happening, because it was sort of one of those things that when we were on the tour, it was always talked about, but, you know, we didn't know when it was happening. So, yeah, like, I'm really glad. I'm just really, really happy to be back playing it again. And I get to do it with Charlie Stemp this time, so it just makes it even better.
Yes, with also, well, you're all West End royalty, aren't you, really, let's face it. Yeah. but so we've literally got Valjean, Eponine, Mary Poppins and Bert, I was going to say, in the studio, in the metaphorical studio. Welcome, Charlie Stemp, thank you so much for joining us. And you've had an interesting last few years as well.
I've had a bit of a crazy couple of years, actually. It's been
We were just saying earlier that lockdown's given you a chance to have a bit of a rest, a bit of a break, and catch your breath a little bit.
Don't get me wrong, I'll always find time to be lazy. Let's make that very clear. But it's been a bit of a crazy couple of years. And I was saying, it's lockdown's quite strange, because for some people it's been very hard to be on their own, or to, you know. But I'm very lucky. I'm with friends. I'm with a load of mates. So with my lovely girlfriend. So we're doing really well. We're watching all the Marvel movies. We're getting through them. We watched all the Lord of the Rings, the Hobbits. We're geeking out. We're having the best time.
That sounds great. And just tell us, how was New York when you were there in Hello Dolly? That must have been an incredible time and experience.
It was, yeah, it was wonderful. I was what, 20, 23, 24? And it was very, very kind of eye-opening to see the other side of the pond and how they deal with theatre and how they deal with things. I always say the one thing that always baffled me the most was they don't use the word stagey. They don't have a word. Stagey. They don't have a term for someone who loves theatre so much that it's negative. So this kind of love that they have for theatre is just so engrossed and so kind of like, not intense, because it's not bad. It's incredible. And that certainly reverberates when everyone knows everyone, like on the West End. And it's just it's a family. It's like here, you know.
Yeah, yeah. When I was there a few years back, my show was off Broadway. And I think if I hadn't had a family here, I would have wanted to stay forever. Yeah. Were you ever tempted to not come back?
Yeah, yeah, there was definitely a period when I called my agent. I said, right, let's get onto it and try and see if we can get a visa. But then I think as well, I'm such a London boy. I was born and bred in London, so this is my home. And as much as I loved it out there, I kind of, after a couple of weeks of trying to get through the legal process of trying to maybe stay, I realised as well that London's my home, and that's going to be very hard to change that.
Yeah. Well said. We're glad to have you back. Well, I'm sure you'll be glad to be back in New York. I have to say, I mean, I said I would have been tempted to stay. I'm not convinced I would have had a chance in hell of getting a visa of being allowed to stay anyway. So it was all academic, really. Game of shows. Aren't they lovely people, Chris? To just really
Yeah, really, really good. It's kind of nice to hear a little bit of information about them, isn't it? And get to know them a bit more personally.
They were very relaxed and really entered into the spirit of it. You know, some of those questions in the first round were maybe a little bit too I think I'll work on, we can talk about the difficulty level.
Yeah, I suppose we need to know. Yeah, it's hard to know what a picture quiz anyway, isn't it?
Definitely,
whenever you're doing
definitely.
Any type of quiz, and I suppose
no,
we don't want it to
I think
be
in that first
easy,
round John well, actually Zizi got one, but John was the only one who got a question right in the first round. He was picking up bonuses all the way through.
Yeah, because I mean, Les Mis were on a strong lead from the beginning, weren't they?
They never lost the lead.
No, I know. felt a bit sorry for Charlie.
I think they entered it into the spirit of things. Now, the other thing, just before we finish, before we wrap this up, it's very nice sitting and chatting to you and chewing the fat over the podcast. But the other thing, so what's coming up in the future? We are planning on making three of these in the short term, I think. And hopefully everybody who listens to it is going to love it and like it and, I don't know, subscribe and do all those things that people do with podcasts. So I wonder whether we should just have a little tell our audience of millions out there some of the ideas we've got for plans for future teams, because I think that's the most exciting thing. Much as people are going to love listening to you and me.
Yeah, they want to hear the people, really, don't they?
They want to hear the people. So who's on the cards for the next, not the people, maybe just the show? We don't want to talk about the people because obviously people might say they can do it.
I think a big spoiler then, a big one, I think that people will be excited about is, drum roll.
Divorced. Beheaded.
Yes. I mean, I love Greece. Die. No, I'm just, there's a little spoiler.
And the other spoiler alert, but this is not, it's not definite. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you this. Okay. And then you can just do, what with it, make it what you will. Okay. So we could get John Robbins back if we had a Hamilton team, but he's technically not in it anymore. So, but that's what we're hoping for. I think that would be amazing. Maybe not for the next episode, maybe the one after that. There's a few other shows. I'd love to get people in from Anne Juliet. Who are you thinking? Who do you think we should?
We want everybody's talking about Jamie team, I think, as well. That'd be a good one.
Absolutely. Everybody's talking about Jamie. And do you know who else? I would love to have a team from Come From Away. So maybe we can try and get Come From Away.
They'd be good off against each other. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
That'd be like acoustic plays disco. Acoustic plays disco. That's what we should always have, and then Six and Hamilton would be like the hip hop playoffs, wouldn't it? There,
and Juliet with.
So we had the Cameron McIntosh derby.
Yeah,
with Les Mis and Poppins, although technically Hamilton is a Cam Mac show as well, isn't it?
That's true.
But we'd have the hip hop massive.
We could have Anne Juliet against Thriller,
or even Anne Juliet against Jamie as well. They're both
Jamie
kind of
be good.
Yeah, so we've got a. I mean, there's a whole smorgasbord of West End shows out there to choose from, isn't there? So we're just going to do our best to get the best guests we possibly can.
Yeah.
People with, with a phone and who can sign up to Zoom. That's all we need, really.
Yeah, we kind of just need performers who aren't working and in lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. And we do want to, we performers who aren't working, that's all of them, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. So we shouldn't struggle to get
good
people.
We're going to get to 100 episodes. That should be the target. Well, listen, thank you so much for everything you did. And obviously you wrote some of those questions as well.
A pleasure.
And we tested the questions on each other. So we'll continue to do that.
Yes.
So in the meantime, you going anywhere nice?
Well, I've come to the cupboard, the sound record booth cupboard in my house.
It looks very good.
Yeah, so I'm going to probably leave there and just go and sit on the sofa.
Yeah, I thought I might stay in this weekend. Yeah,
don't fancy leaving, going out anytime soon.
Well, I think that's everything. Have we covered everything we need to?
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on social media.
At Game of Shows Quiz, and you can visit our website gameofshowsquiz.com, and we'll be back very soon. Thanks for listening.
Game of Shows.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps.
A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suf's celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.